I do have a bit of an innovation fetish. I like things that
gross.
Well, fetish doesn't necessarily mean what you think it means.
Yeah, I know.
But why'd you smile like the way you did when you said it?
I didn't.
You winked at me.
Yeah. You guys are drunk.
Hey, what's going on, everyone? It's Tableside Mashed Potatoes. I'm Derek, and as usual, I'm here with Peter and Scott, and we have a great podcast for you to listen to today. We start off the podcast with how I no longer love the metaverse, and you'll hear me explain why. We talk about Elon's Twitter takeover and how this might mean Donald Trump is getting his account back. And then we talk about dream advertising. Yep, they're thinking about it. And then lastly, we talk about how everyone is going bananas for QR codes. But without further ado, here's the episode. Enjoy.
So, I got something to talk to you guys about. Remember the last episode telling you all about how stoked I was about the VR goggles and being part of the metaverse?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I tried to delete my Facebook, or I did delete my Facebook a couple weeks ago. And I found out that you actually need a Facebook account to be able to use the VR goggles.
Because who owns Oculus?
Zuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which sucks because then I got my account back, but now the VR goggles think I'm like hacking into the system. What? So they won't let me back in to the metaverse. What? With my account without having to reset it. But then that would mean I'd lose all my games.
Because you tried to cancel and you...
Because I canceled and then found out, I can't use my VR glasses without this.
But now your goggles are mad at you?
Yeah, basically. Wait, no. So I can't use it.
And by the time you get back in, there's going to be a VR squatter in your meta house. How are you going to get rid of them?
I know. So like it's telling me that I have to reset the whole thing. But in doing so, I would lose every single app that I bought.
What did you buy?
Oh, I bought like games like, it was like poker Beat and Saber. And I've been trying to call somebody. Oh, but the customer service is just awful.
But so you're saying like you canceled your account or tried to cancel your account. Mm-hmm. And now you're in this kind of like staging ground where they don't know if you're legit or not.
Yeah, exactly.
And you got to either completely cancel or try and get back to being in legit status. Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
I love that millennial Derek's trying to explain to two Gen Xers how this works. Like we still get the paper.
So you're saying like your mail got lost
and
you're trying to get it out of the post box again. Is that
right? Basically, but let's say I locked the mailbox and then swallowed the key.
Explain this in cribbage terms.
Anyway, so now I'm really mad at the metaverse.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll ever go back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm going to.
Didn't you enjoy it? You must have loved it.
Yeah. Though. I loved it. But now it's like.
You can't.
On principle that they won't. They like I have to have a Facebook account. Don't worry.
There will be other metaverses.
Be in there. Yeah. I hope so. Yeah.
Twitter and Tesla will make one right away.
Yeah. What do you guys think of the hostile takeover move from Elon for Twitter?
Well, yeah. Can you explain that to me?
Imagine it's a cribbage board.
Yeah.
He's way ahead.
So he bought 9% of Twitter stock. Mm. A week or so later, he filed, a motion or whatever it's called with the, Securities and Exchange Commission.
Okay.
Saying that he was putting in a bid to buy Twitter for $43 billion.
Oh.
Yeah. So Twitter is a public company. He can, if he's got the cash, make a bid on that. The board of directors has to act in the, fiduciary benefit of its shareholders.
Right.
So for every share that somebody owns for Twitter, they would have got like an extra $10 mm-hmm. per share. So it made sense from, a shareholder perspective, it would have been like, oh yeah, that sounds really good. So they kind of have a legal obligation to entertain this offer.
This is what I always find it fascinating that Twitter is still legit. Like it felt like it was on its way out because it was like text-based only and so many new like, social platforms were coming out and you're like, oh, this is going the way of Facebook and Twitter are kind of the old social platforms and TikTok. And
they're not Web 3, man.
Right. Exactly. So it feels a little bit like why Twitter? Why wouldn't you go after, I don't know.
I don't think it's a business move for him because he's the richest man in the world. So if he doesn't somehow, make billions of dollars off this purchase. I don't think it really matters. I think it's his idea around free speech and the preservation of free speech in an open and democratic society and how vital that is, which, you know, I think everybody totally gets to a point. I think where it gets a little dicey is are a bunch of bots spreading misinformation and disinformation about a variety of topics. Is that free speech?
Was he was he a Trump supporter? He was, wasn't he?
I don't know if he was a supporter. He was on some kind of.
I think he was against them banning Trump from Twitter because the free speech thing.
Yeah.
So I think Trump right now is like, oh, come on, baby.
He was on. He was on an initial.
Here we go.
Bring me back home, baby.
Trump's got Truth Social. It's fine. I think he initially was on some not. Panel, but like some government thing for Trump, and he ended up resigning. We really just like completely laid bare all of our like lack of knowledge about
Twitter. Yeah, like
free speech.
Honestly, Musk. For me, Twitter is just doom scrolling for me. Oh, it's just
you guys know my stance on social media.
I know
it's well,
but you are on Twitter.
Well, not really.
You're a spectator.
I have a Twitter account, but I don't.
It's go like on a Twitter it. Voyeur. That's what that's. I,
that's no, what that's a voyeur assumes you're looking at things. And I, never on Twitter. But I have a guy at work that is constantly throwing shade about the fact that I'm not on Instagram. I'm like,
what?
Yeah.
Just, why is that just an for insult?
Fun.
Oh, okay.
Just for fun.
That's funny. That's
yeah.
Funny. Yeah, if I didn't have to be on Instagram, I wouldn't be. That's not true. I want people to see my lips. Hell yeah.
What are you up to? Bench, squat, and deadlift. Let's go.
275 on for the bench.
What? Are you kidding?
No shit. Wow.
I hit my PR the other day. Anyways, enough about this. I'm taking all that out.
Yeah. You are going to have quite the edit job, my friend. Yeah,
when I was getting a pump on the other day.
You know what helps you lift better? If you rub oil. Into it first. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Gets it into the pecs.
The glisten. Let's pour another one.
We'll be right back after this quick Negroni break. If you like what you hear and you haven't already, please subscribe because that helps us out and bumps us up the podcast search rankings. And it also helps you out because, well, then you don't miss an episode. And even better, please rate and review us. 5 stars are always appreciated.
And we're back. We're just pouring ourselves another drink.
Yeah, after our commercial. You saw something in the news. What the hell was it?
Oh, yeah.
So this goes back a couple of weeks. I read an article about how, I believe it was Coors, was conducting an experiment, you know, like the typical marketing things that you know, hey, we need somebody to test this out. But they had people come into their environment and they would show them a bunch of Coors related scenes, imagery, scenarios. Then they would leave them for a little bit and I think they would play some nice music and they would tell them to try to go to sleep. And they were trying to test whether any of these participants would have a dream about Coors. And the idea, the whole kind of, you know, incentive for this is we're awake 16 give or take hours of the day and you are essentially flooded with advertising for a great portion of that time. But that leaves 8 hours that we're not able to kind of...
Uncharted territory.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a third,
we
bro.
We gotta hit that. All of that advertising space going to waste. Look at all that dream time.
Oh my God.
Inundating it's, people with ads.
Yeah.
I get it.
Why get their attention when you can get their detention?
Keep going. What is it?
Detention? Untention?
It's
why perfect. Get their attention Inception? When you can get their undention?
Yeah, landed. You landed that. Yeah,
that's awesome. It's smooth. Smooth.
Thanks. Yeah.
I know I'm not going to lie and say I haven't woken up thinking about beer, but it hasn't been placed in my brain by the beer company while I was asleep.
This was the plot of Nightmare on Elm Street.
It is. Basically, if Freddy Krueger was just a drunk that was pounding shitty beer.
Yeah. And he worked in marketing. It's like, hey, going to sleep? Too bad. We still got you.
Yeah, we still
dream targeting.
Now, who's to say that these dreams are actually positive and that you don't just have a hellish experience where a Coors Banquet is chasing you down and bludgeoning you to death?
But you knew it was Coors Banquet.
Well, yeah, that's the whole point. But I mean, does that lead to more branding, sales? Or do you avoid that section of the beer cooler like the plague?
Maybe,
yeah. I love the idea, though, that's like just like, you know, the media team, when they're scheduling, they're blocking out everything. They're just like, here's your average night. We're going to start here with some like quick ads. Then we're going to get into some meaty material in the middle.
Check out the flight right here where I've added some nap time.
And how do you tap into the subconscious like that? Do you have Alexa kind of just do some ASMR kind of in the background, talking smoothly about Coors?
Yeah.
Have you seen those? If you go to Best Buy, the little headgear that you can stick on that's supposed to be like calm, calming. I've seen that. Maybe that's just part of it. It's just like VR, except you never take off the fucking goggles. You just stick it on your head all day.
That's a thing.
And grow your hair on top of it. So you don't actually know it's there.
Does it make it like more ethically horrendous that it's an alcohol company that's kind of doing this? or is it just straight across the board? That's like, it doesn't matter.
That's what makes it harmless to me. If it was anyone else but Coors, I'd be offended. But I'm like, oh, beer.
It's harmless. Yeah.
What do you think like the marketing team was thinking? Like, our purpose is to change the way people have hangovers.
It is a giant red flag to me anytime I see a marketing team with lab coats. Like, anytime there's scientists and psychologists attached to this project, I got to ask some questions.
No,
it is flipping the paradigm, though, because it's like, hey, guess what? No one else is there. Like, this could be
yet. Us.
This is the moon. This is the first man on moon.
Yeah.
Person. So they fucking wreck people's brains. Yeah. So Derek, you might be too young for this, but Peter, you might remember in the
I'm 3 years.
The only reason you wouldn't remember is you're too old and starting to, you know.
Are you talking about cribbage? Because I remember.
do you remember the whole Max Headroom fad in the 80s?
Yeah.
Late 80s.
I'm too young for this.
Yeah, you totally are.
But earmuffs, Derek.
But there was a thing like this where they were doing, I think they were called blips. It was a way for this corporation to like advertise to people with like these subliminally like kind of like hidden things that were like, I guess, super jarring to the psyche and would kill people. And so now they're kind of trying to bury the fact that they tried to like do this like subliminal advertising that like blew people's brains up or something.
Yeah.
And I feel like this thing is kind of, it's not exactly, but you know,
what's the harm? And you know what I heard? So with my limited knowledge of sleep, you only remember the last dream you had before you wake up. So you have multiple dreams throughout the night. The last one is the only one you remember. So, hey, that's all you got to do is just hit that last dream.
That comes to your media buying question, right? Because, like, that one is going to be more expensive than the one that you have at, like, 2 in the morning.
100%.
Oh, absolutely.
Totally.
You're going to recall the others later in life. Like, as, like, 30 years later, you're going to be like, oh, fuck, I remember this beer.
Who's your audience?
I don't know why.
Are they your night workers who are sleeping during the daytime?
Either or.
Are you spending more money on those or...
For some reason, I associated with like this flying sea creature and they had like a toolbox. I don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but I remember it. And that's the important thing.
I think the easy fix, like there's probably a lo-fi and hi-fi way of doing this because the hi-fi is obviously technology. Lo-fi is just hire a street team and they just sit by your bed and whisper to you at night.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. I bet you my kids would take that job.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Mr. Clean is the best. Detergent.
No, it would be more like, I need a new iPhone.
Tailor-made golf clubs. Tailor-made golf
clubs. 13. Don't get that. Don't cheap out with that 11 shit.
Buy now before it's too late.
Yeah. I wouldn't buy into that right away, but hear that 100 times in a row while you're like mostly unconscious.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
I would, sure. I'd be into that.
Oh, yeah. Hey, have you guys watch TV, obviously, right?
No. I actually don't.
You don't?
Oh, no, fuck. Not much.
Well, I'm not on social. I don't watch TV. I just read books.
Why? Is that you? Don't do that either.
Okay. Okay. I just sit in a dark room and
bottle just stare of scotch.
At dry paint.
Contemplate.
Yeah.
It's called mindfulness, but, Derek. All right.
Yeah. If you watch TV, there's some commercials where they have the QR code on there now. Have you seen that?
No.
Where you can scan. So instead of like a web URL or whatever at the end or an address, now it's a QR code. So you go up to your TV and scan. There's a QR code like bugged on the bottom right corner of the screen.
I haven't seen that, but that seems to make sense.
I'm sure we've said this before, but it's like what Pulp Fiction did to John Travolta. Like, COVID just brought it all back. And now I'm like, hey, restaurants, keep QR codes because it's the easiest way to get to menus and they have to reprint them over and over and over. But I think it's interesting. Interactive TV is interesting.
Yeah.
If you can kind of find a way to do it, but QR codes make sense.
Well, the issue with QR codes was never that it was a bad technology. It was just that your smartphones needed to download an app for it.
Yeah.
And it so quickly became within 12 months, everyone's like, ugh.
Yeah.
QR code. Oh, give me a break. Like, cause it was overdone. It was used on every marketing and advertising campaign as opposed to any kind of actual, like, oh, there is some utility to being able to scan this thing and get information.
You're so right. Like, I remember our cereal having QR codes, and it's funny because I was so bitter about this thing that I actually used it. So maybe it is effective, but I was just like, why the fuck is there a QR code on a cereal box? It was actually pretty cool. I went to the site and they had like this augmented reality little play thing play on your phone. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. So I guess I'm not proving my point whatsoever, but I was just thinking like it was overused for sure.
Yeah.
I remember every campaign is like, where should we put the QR code? It's no one uses it. Yeah. So why the fuck are we talking about like, this? It was
advertising wrecks everything.
Yeah. It was the first iteration of AR basically, right?
Yeah.
The QR code.
Yeah.
So everybody thought it was just so exciting.
Like I remember being, this is circa 2010, 2012. Yeah. I remember being in my house and my bananas, the sticker on the banana had a QR code. And you know what? Sure. Let's see what this has got. And I'm kind of going, hey, maybe it's this like cool kind of like mobile, like, I don't know, banana game thing or something. It took me to a Facebook page where I was supposed to like the banana company, which was either Chiquita or Del Monte, whichever. I'm like, why would I like the banana company on Facebook? They would send you
to like Chihuahua, Mexico or something. Hey, like, this is where the banana
It was
from.
An absolute fail. I hope the marketing person got fired. It doesn't make any sense. And it's just an example of complete saturation of a technology for no good purpose. And then it peters out. And then you need something like a global pandemic in order to bring it back in.
Well, everything has to have a call to action, even your fruits and vegetables.
Yeah. Oh, when they were thinking up that, they're like, man, everyone's going to engage with us on this campaign.
Hey, how many scans did you get on that banana?
We're going to have
two.
So many likes.
No way. What? That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know that?
Brilliant.
Over here in Canada, like there's like two different types of bananas that you can buy.
Yeah.
I had no idea how many different versions of bananas there are.
Well, they don't actually really exist anymore. There's only one actually now.
Really?
But there used to be a lot.
Yeah, wow, get it straight, Peter.
There's way more than what we're being exposed to, though.
But not really, because they've all kind of gone extinct.
Are you thinking plantains?
Yeah. No. So
I'm going to look this up.
Look it up. And this is fun. Like, you know the term Banana Republic?
Yeah.
So that stems from the United Fruit Company, which is now, I think, Del Monte or Chiquita, one of those. But it was essentially a U.S. company that set up shop in Colombia and Latin America. And
both the same, yeah.
Well, I think it was mostly Colombia.
Okay, go ahead.
And you guys should actually look this up. It's actually quite interesting. They came in, set up shop. It's a monocrop. Banana trees basically destroy the ground for anything else that can be grown there. And it was such a massive industry that they were able to essentially take over the government, lobby it, say, we're the government now. We're the entire industry here. Obviously, you know, early 1900s agriculture, the working conditions are horrendous. And you know, the people working in those places tried to kind of rise up and say, hey, this isn't fair. And they were shot. Mm. And the whole concept of a banana republic being a quote unquote government that is controlled by, you know, some other entity. That's where that comes from.
Ha.
Oh, interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
A thousand Over 1,000.
Over 1,000 what?
Types of bananas. But you could be, this, maybe this article came out early, right? Because there's probably, they did say they're shrinking.
Yeah.
But 1,000 different types of bananas.
You can only get like one here.
I know.
Yeah.
Right. We are very limited by our banana intake. Yes.
Yeah. We should wrap this up because I'm looking outside right now and it's like a whiteout.
It's only April.
It's late April. It's almost May.
Yeah.
I know.
That's Canada.
It's crazy. Well, thanks a lot for listening to us.
This is fun.
Banter.
Back in the saddle.
It's great to be in person again with these guys.
Like anyone still hanging on to this thing.
Well, on that note, subscribe to our podcast if you haven't already. Leave a review.
Smash those likes.
And we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Yep. Yeah.